The high portion of today's episode is brought to you by Purple Punch.
Take a green hit of Purple Punch.
George. Welcome. I don't want to start by singing.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I'm not a good singer. So I don't want it to do that. I don't want to do that. But I think that when you feel awkward, for some reason, your instincts are to perform. Like,
oh, for sure. Yeah.
Why is that?
Because you go into like, well, I'm not who I actually am, and you start like thinking about your arms too much. Like,
it's like you're pretending. You're like, you know, you're pretending, so you pretend even harder.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's my theory.
Yeah, I don't get it. Everything is so hard.
Welcome to the 9th episode of High and Inside. We know it's hard, so take it easy with us for a while.
That was a brief look into my real psyche.
Well, let me bring some salve to your psyche. Ooh. With some delicious, exciting baseball
a salve? Salve?
Salve?
S-A-L-V-E? Balm?
Have.
Blam? Balm?
Sab. Cab.
Cabernet Sauvignon.
That's like Clara Barton's favorite wine. I couldn't think of like a specific news point that I wanted to talk about from a specific game this week as my EBT. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted to just give like a league roundup really briefly. I wrote it down in very few syllables.
During the baseball games, there's a lot of that because we watch them through the MLB TV app. There's a lot of those commercials for Roundup.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So I was wondering if that like bled into your brain.
I did not mean for it to, but I literally wrote Roundup on my notes as we were watching this with all those Roundup commercials in it. So I think what I'm saying is advertising works and all our brains are diseased.
Yeah. I can't wait to go out and eat some Roundup.
Well, this is the Roundup, and it kind of works perfectly with how I wrote it, too. AL too hot on top, NL got more pop. My brain is diseased.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say there is that my thesis is that there are two teams that are hot on top of the AL that I'm excited to talk about. The Houston Astros are screaming through the West, and they've even had some guys be like slumpy or injured. Like, I think that Springer and Altuve are both on the IL right now, mm-hmm. and they're still just have the best record in baseball. They're just crushing. They're the Houston Astros that they've been for the last 2-3 years.
Slumpy as a physical descriptor is very funny to me.
Yeah, you know, when the team gets
like,
slumpy.
Look at, no, but like as of someone's physical appearance.
Oh, you're saying
like the slumpy guy in the red shirt. Like,
slumpy Jan over here bringing us Danishes. But I would say that the more exciting of those two stories overall, and arguably the more fleeting, is the Minnesota Twins. They've put together a wonderful season. They have the third-ish best record in baseball right now, and they're easily leading the Central over the favorite in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland, as I've mentioned on previous episodes, has had some mishaps. They've had lost a couple guys out of their rotation. Yeah. They
picked
a bad mascot. They picked a terrible racist mascot. This is actually their first season without Chief Wahoo like in the stadium or on uniform. So they'll probably point to that. they'll probably bring him back any day now.
Yeah.
So that's the American League. But I also want to point out, honestly, I don't know much more about the Twins, like, besides it. They have a lot of like non-stars, and they've just managed to put together.
I was
a good
literally going to ask. I don't know a single person on the Twins. Like,
so that La Tortuga, that catcher that I told you I like.
Sure.
Who
was their player for a long time? It was like a Morneau, Justin
Sano. He's still on the team, but he's been injured.
I'm thinking of a first baseman that had like a French Canadian name, Josh Morneau.
I know who you're talking about, and I think you're right.
Yeah.
Anywho, I wanted to say though, with that said, and I think we'll probably be able to kind of get more into this as we converse about our home teams, the National League has a lot more league parity. There are a lot of more good teams in the National League. There are more teams above 500. The distance between the last team in each division is much smaller than it is for any division in the American League. So I think that tends to artificially inflate some records for the American League, mm-hmm. because they're just teams they beat up on more.
Right.
And the National League just is, you know, switching around who's where in the divisions, and it's the one to watch.
Yeah. That's exciting. I know very little about the AL.
I have a National League bias, yeah, just from being a fan.
I don't know how to even like start to learn about them. This is going to bleed into what I want to talk about later.
Okay.
But before we get into that, can I throw out an EBT for once?
Of course.
I have.
You say that like I'm keeping you from doing it.
So far, the agreement is this is your time to shine. And I just gotta shut the fuck up.
Okay, so I did make that clear. Cool. All right. Yeah, you have my permission to do this now.
This was actually, I didn't find this. This was actually sent to me by a fan of the show via text message. Mm-hmm. There's a guy named, like, I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing this name. It's like Rianne Boone. What does that look like to you?
Rainbone?
Raffin Burge. It says here he just got married to someone named Suthi Bajonis. So I don't know what that is. But either way, thanks for being a fan. Why do you have my number? But this is the Orioles committed a play that Sports Illustrated is calling maybe the worst play in Major League Baseball history. The situation is the Cleveland Indians have the bases loaded. The Orioles are in the field. So there's a force at every bag. The Cleveland batter hits like a little dribbler to the infield, and they proceed to get nobody out.
Zero outs
when they had a force at every bag and could have easily. It's hard to
explain. They could have ended the inning.
They could have ended the inning immediately because I believe there was two outs at the time. But they got the guy who was forced at second into a rundown for some reason. They tried to tag him instead of tagging the base.
Two different players tried to apply a physical tag to
when
a
all
player
they had to do was get
when
the force
the
out.
When the bases were loaded.
And then when they are about to go get the force out at home or at second.
Yeah, and
the
we should be clear, this was not the player trying to go to home. Yeah. This was the player trying to go to second base.
A second baseman realizes, oh, somebody's going home. They try to go home, and they don't get that guy out either. So nothing happened.
They give up a run and get zero outs. They had one out. They could have easily turned a double play and gotten out of
it
the
It looks like watching. We'll put a link to the play.
Two runs scored.
Into the show notes.
Yeah.
But it looks like watching little children play baseball, where you're just like, the crowd is yelling, telling them who to throw to, and
yeah,
they're like, what
like,
do I do?
It's like they forgot the rules. Like, they are trying to get the same player out in the base paths, and they give up two runs in the process. It's insane.
It's wild. It's admittedly pretty visual, but thanks to Randy Bocho for sending that one in.
How are you feeling about baseball this week?
Good, generally. I feel like I'm a Pirates fan, and that's great. But I don't feel like a fan of the league yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to it feels like to me that there isn't these marquee matchups, or I don't know how to spot them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that's a failing on my part, or that's a failing on how the MLB is displayed at a national level, mm-hmm. or how they hype themselves. Or, to make this question even more complicated, if it's a third thing where it's just the nature of the game where you can't really have these marquee matchups in the same way other sports can. For example, in football, if two hot quarterbacks are playing each other, by that I mean attractive, I say it's Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You're going to tune in because those are two great quarterbacks.
QBs.
And you're going to get to see them play for one of them is going to be on the field at all times. You know, like, and you're going to get to see them constantly with the ball. You're going to get to see them play. If in baseball, if the best pitcher in the league, let's say it's Clayton Kershaw, because that's who I'm just going to, is facing off again, is starting a game where he's playing the team with the best batter in the league. Say that's Mike Trout. They might only face each other twice, you know, like, and so do you think that's something that baseball doesn't do well enough? I'm not seeing it. Or is it that the nature of baseball just makes that something you can't exploit as much as other sports can? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And unfortunately, my big boring answer is that it's some combination of all three of those things.
Yeah.
Because that's how everything works. And I have an inability to decide one thing in any situation because I could see where all of them fit. So, first of all, I don't think that national sports media talks as much about baseball as they do other sports. And maybe that's because I'm like biased towards wanting more baseball coverage. Mm-hmm. And I never feel like I see or hear enough of it. Like, I consume a few different sports things.
Yeah.
And even right now, I don't really feel like they're talking about baseball that
right.
much. And I'm like, but why? It's baseball season. And then additionally, I think it's hard to because there is so much and because you really have to talk about like win streaks and series wins
yeah.
and not necessarily like you can't really dictate any given day of baseball. Like, for instance, the Pirates winning over the Padres yesterday doesn't mean that the Pirates are now like in a great place in their division, you know,
yeah.
just because that one game. I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder if it's something where like maybe trying to pay attention to a marquee game of the week, because it's like Sunday night baseball is still a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I remember that being like a thing that
Sunday night baseball last night was the Cubs and the Phillies.
Yeah.
So like case in point. And I was actually going to bring up another example
yeah.
closer to home, another big, I believe it was national, but definitely a highlighted game series this past weekend was the Braves and the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
You have the team with the NL Rookie of the Year from last season and the NL MVP from last season.
Acuna on the Braves being the Rookie of
mm-hmm.
the Year and Yelich.
Christian Yelich. Mm-hmm.
On the Brewers.
And yes, those guys are only going to get up to bat three, four
yeah.
times, five times. You're only going to cut to them making a play in the outfield a couple times a game,
mm-hmm.
two or three. But they're also competing teams. Same thing goes for the Cubs and the Phillies, in my mind.
Yeah.
Obviously, they have the bigger names. They have your Bryce Harpers, your Chris Bryants, your Anthony Rizzos. The Cubs have just been there. Everybody knows who the Cubs
yeah.
are. So they're going to demand more like TV time and attention
yeah.
in the same way that I'm sure the Patriots demand more TV
yeah.
time and attention.
There's another thing where, and I hate that I kind of think this, but I kind of want this is going to sound crazy, but I wish there was some like non game related drama that went on at the baseball level. And again, maybe it's just that I'm not seeing it, but like there always seems to be like a narrative in football of someone talking shit or
you
like
know why?
Someone going back to a place that got traded them and there was a bad trade or like there's some like other hook that they give it.
First of all, it was the Cubs Nationals last night, not the Cubs Phillies. Second of all, to actually address that point,
yeah.
they have to fill time between games with stuff like that
yeah.
in football. They have nothing else
yeah.
to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm sure people say stuff like that every single day in post game interviews for baseball games, and it just doesn't get talked about as much because there's so much shit to talk about already.
Yeah, it's but it like in a good way and a bad way. In a good way for like just how the world should work,
yeah.
and in a bad way for like
marketability
or an easy thing to sink your teeth into.
Mm-hmm.
There doesn't seem to be much else talked about aside from like the game and like the silly stuff that happens in games or like how
right.
unlikely this is to happen. Or,
right.
And it's just so different from the other, like, it's different from all the other sports in literally its game makeup, in that all the other sports are about have the ball and put the ball in a thing. and baseball is like, hit the ball away from you and then run around in a circle. Like, they're formed differently. It's kind of hard for me to propel myself into that like next level of fandom where I care about the league a lot because I don't know what there is to care about. Maybe tracking the Sunday night game and like watching and reading about it,
yeah,
is something I can do. But like football has that thing where they have basically a weekly holiday for their sport.
Right.
So, but baseball is just on all the time, so nothing ever feels more important than anything
additionally,
else.
Additionally, fantasy has the same effect in both leagues. Fantasy, people who play fantasy know who the best players in the league are, period. Yeah. So that's where a lot of my league knowledge came from in terms of players who I would never know their name if it weren't for playing fantasy baseball.
Yeah, maybe in the next week I gotta try to read more about the league in general and pay attention to the league a little bit more and see if that does anything for me, if I find anything I can sink my teeth into and then thus want to watch a game because of it.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like I would do that with other sports.
I think about turning other games on into on the radio or TV. I mean, I've thrown different games on TV before and it's just not stayed on very long.
Yeah.
Like not our home team.
Yeah.
Games.
Like in other sports, if there were like in hockey, if it was like Connor McDavid versus say Alex Ovechkin, I might tune into that a little bit or versus Austin Matthews.
Right.
That's a better analogy. We don't need to talk about hockey. I think that's where I am league wide in fandom where I feel like, yeah, I'm a Pirates fan, but it feels like I'm a Pirates fan in a vacuum.
Yeah, there's also a really big argument for how baseball markets itself in general being like East Coast bias versus West Coast bias.
And maybe because we're on the West Coast,
we don't hear it as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to have to try to figure it out. But why don't we talk about, why don't we check in with our home teams?
I think the easiest way to do this is really poetically but succinctly.
Yeah. So we wrote some haikus this week. Why don't we start with the Braves then? Give me your haikus for the week.
Three straight series wins against three contending teams. Freddy's two hundo.
No, I have a question, but I want to hear the next one first.
Okay. Call up Red Hot Riley. Three home runs in six dang games. Austin Powers, yeah.
Okay, I figured out my question of the first. My first one was going to be, what's Freddie's 200? But he hit his 200th home run?
Correct.
And your second one's about a guy who caught up, Austin Riley.
Correct.
Who's been hitting home runs.
Correct.
So you've taken the liberty of nicknaming him Austin Powers.
Yeah, baby.
She's been talking like Austin Powers literally for the last week.
Haven't stopped, baby. Yeah.
And it's like, I can't say it's a bad impression.
I don't think anything I had done up to that point had been very good. But she never had to be good, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's barely British and then you say yeah.
Yeah, baby. I couldn't write my haiku with baby in it. The hardest part was that I couldn't do Austin Powers. Yeah, baby.
Right.
If you'll roll back the tape, it's like that last line is just Austin Powers, yeah.
But that sounds like all's well in Bravesburg in the nation, the Chop Nation. How do you refer to Atlanta fans?
Braves Country.
I should have known.
Braves Country is though a holdover from TBS, because it was literally just on all over,
yeah,
and they couldn't even call it like, you know, Georgia fans. Like,
yeah,
it was just Braves Country.
Well, it sounds like everything's always well in Braves Country.
Yeah. So, since the last pod, Fulton Nevich has had one good start, and it was unfortunately one of our only losses due to no fault of his. We've had an offensive just tear, sparked in part by call up Austin Riley, And yeah, three series wins. Win game one in San Francisco. Riley gets his third home run. Acuna gets two, and gets his 10th leadoff home run of his short career. There's not too much to complain about. They're obviously still trying to find some better solutions for their bullpen, but it's looking good in Braves country, like you
said.
Great. What are your haikus, my dear?
Josh Bell is 6'4", 240 pounds. Damn, that's a big boy. Melky keeps hitting, but he got that big belly. Makes him run slowly. So mostly they're about their size base.
But he got that big belly.
But he got that big belly. That's seven.
Yeah, that's the. But he got that big belly. Yeah,
it works. Yeah. I used a program on the computer to make sure. Because I do not trust myself. So yeah, I don't have any observations, but other than like these are some big boys out there.
But they hitting so good.
They hitting good. Josh Bell literally, like, I am in awe of him because he's such a big, like, his shoulders look so wide and he's just so full of muscle that it's just so fun to watch him, because when he hits a ball, he beats that living hell out of it.
It is fascinating for me to have him as a comparison for the guys who hit home runs on the Braves, because it is just pure arm shoulder power. Yeah. With Josh Bell, he just muscles the shit out of the ball over the fence. And guy Acuna couldn't have more of a like full body flowing swing.
Yeah.
Like it's so different to me.
Yeah, like Acuna hits the ball out and Bell pushes the ball out.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's just raw power and it's just super impressive to see. The same thing with Melky, man. I swear to you, I don't have any stats on this, but I swear to him, you, like, three quarters of the hits he's got this year have just been these slap singles into left.
Yeah.
And he just like turns on the ball and he's just such a big, thick dude that the power transfers to the bat and the ball just gets hit hard and he just gets on first.
Yeah.
Then you see, because of that big belly, him chugging his ass off to first, and he's never going to get much farther.
Yeah.
But it's fun to watch.
It is a delight to watch him chug down the first baseline.
The physics of baseball are really fun to appreciate, how each individual player can achieve the same end, a long big home run, in different ways.
Yeah.
Like you can, like you said, you can have Acuna with like this perfectly like pendulum swing where he just like golfs a ball out, and then you get Josh Bell literally going like, the bat is also kind of my fists and I just punched it.
Yeah.
Like it's super fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a picture from sometime in the last couple seasons of Aaron Judge standing next to Jose Altuve, and it is the most beautiful summary of what you just described. Yeah. Because Aaron Judge is a horse of a man.
Yeah.
And Jose Altuve is a jockey. Like,
yeah.
And they look, they couldn't be different body type, yeah, more different in body type. And they both are the top, yeah, of their game.
Yeah. And it's so cool because, like, in football, you have people of different body types too, but they don't do the same stuff.
Right. Like, that's really interesting.
And in baseball, they all do the same shit, man.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the Pirates are looking good. I counted this, but don't quote me on it. They went on an 8-game losing streak, and since then, they've been 12-6.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They had a road trip where they faced the Cardinals, the Diamondbacks, and the Padres. They were over 500 on that road trip, all good teams. They jumped the Cardinals in the standings.
You're now, welcome.
Thank you for the help. As of yesterday, they were technically in the playoffs with only half a game lead in the wild card spot, and they're like third in their division, two and a half games out of first. So like, I want so badly for them to be like, I want to look and have the stats change wildly every day, but it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So I'm really now hungry for them to be like, get up to second. Like, yeah. I want to see them keep doing it. So right. It's making the games like be a little more high stakes for me, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm enjoying it this far.
You're
so
in,
far,
baby.
If someone asked me how like the season was going, I'd be like, it's been a fun season. I've enjoyed the ride thus far. So
We got him.
Yep, podcast over.
Okay, I want to call this segment Get 'Em While They're Hot.
Okay.
Or Before It Was Cool.
Okay.
So it's like,
yeah.
Do you want this game to, are we chefs or are we hipsters?
Okay. And based on our life, kind of a bit of both.
Yeah. That's why I couldn't decide. Yeah. I told you, I can't, not good with the decision. So Get 'Em While They're Hot or Before It Was Cool is a segment where each of us talks about something that, or some things that we were a fan of before it became popular, before it got really good that so people couldn't ignore it. It's inspired by the fact that both of our teams are having good little hot streaks right now.
Cool. Do you want me to,
or hot?
Cool. Do you have something in mind?
Or hot.
Do you have something in mind that you were on the ground floor of that you got into before it was cool?
Okay. A part of me wants to talk about the NBC sitcom Parks and Recreation because I do feel like I was a very early adopter and most people came around to the show. I think the current fandom is fueled by Netflix, by word of mouth, everyone talking about how great it was. Mm-hmm. It became this kind of like cultural fandom. And I feel like I watched it like as the first season finished up when I started watching it.
I was definitely a late adopter of Parks. It felt like to me the zeitgeist was kind of like Parks existed and everyone was like, oh, I haven't really watched that. And then like a month later, it was like Parks is great. Like everyone caught up at the same time.
And I feel like I was like always there going, guys, I know it got off to a rocky start, but you got to listen to me. This is going to be a big one.
Did you watch it the like first season as it aired?
I want to say that I watched like the finale the week after it aired. Like, but I like caught up to it to watch the finale shortly after.
Because it had like an inauspicious first season. There was
correct.
Only six
it
episodes.
It was a mid-season replacement, I believe.
Oh.
Maybe not replacement, but it only had six episodes. Yeah. And they came out in the spring.
And the general consensus when it came out was like, it's not that great.
Yes.
Because the first season is a little rough.
Yes.
But you kind of were there the whole time.
And that's why I think most people like didn't start watching it until season two or three had come out at the earliest.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone knows you, they know that you're a champion of that show, so
correct.
No one would.
And then like, you know, my other like obsessive fandom of once was like one of the only other things I thought about because I saw that movie in theaters.
Yeah.
And now it's like been a Tony Award winning musical
and
won an Oscar obviously.
Yeah. And you loved it from the moment you saw it.
I literally saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
And like saw it out to try to see it in theaters.
I still feel like that's one that a lot of people don't seem
still
to know.
Cultish.
Yeah, it's still like a little bit too cultish aside from like, I mean, it won an Oscar, but for song.
Oscar and Tony.
And it has a Tony.
It's halfway to an EGOT.
Yeah, but I don't think
it is still, I you know, that's
musicals
one of the reasons why I didn't
people.
Like lead out the gate with it. That's why I think Parks and Rec is a little bit better
but
an example.
I do feel like you're like an OG fan of both those things.
Right. That's and they're like two of my favorite things, so it's just like hard to ignore them in this kind of conversation.
Yeah.
What do you have?
I'm going to throw a few at you.
Okay.
First, I'm going to start with one that's for both of us. I feel like we were in on Lizzo before she blew up. Because
couldn't agree more.
Our relationship with Lizzo is this. A season premiere episode of Broad City had a song in the first scene that we really liked. And we looked up who it was by. It was by Lizzo and another woman named like Carolyn Adams or something.
Caroline Smith?
Caroline Smith. That's what it is. And we were like, let's
no
check
relation.
Out their other stuff. And we went to pulled up Lizzo's stuff on Spotify. We put on the song Good As Hell. And we were like, this song is great. And we were like, this song is literally good as hell.
And
we're big
we
fans of
it.
And
then we heard
it
in like every movie a year and a half
later. Yeah, like a few months or like a year later, it got so big. And we were like, we're on this shit beforehand.
Yeah.
And now her song Juice is playing everywhere.
She's
big.
She like has
she
broken album release type records for her most recent album.
Most of these are going to be music. I think all of them are going to be music.
Maybe not broken, but she's been like the top artist on Spotify this week, basically.
So this is, I was actually looking up this up today before we even decided to talk about this, which is kind of funny. This is a little deep divey. There is a music producer named Ariel Rechtschaid, R-E-C-H-T-S-H-I-I-D. I don't know how to pronounce his name. It's a guy named Ariel. He's produced a bunch of albums, worked with a bunch of big stars. Recently, he produced songs on Vampire Weekend's new album. He's produced a lot of Haim's music. He's worked with U2. He's worked with Carly Rae Jepsen, Madonna, Beyonce, Kylie Minogue. Like, it just every, like,
yeah.
Snoop Dogg, Solange Knowles, obviously, Usher, Justin Bieber. So he's just been around. He's just a pop producer. He's, when he was in high school, he was, he started a ska band called The Hippos, who I loved. And they released like handful of albums. I will still, I put The Hippos on maybe not two, like 2 weeks ago. And yeah. It's like, I remember at the time being like, man, I really like the way this guy writes music and like some of these melodies. And I think it's like really, like has a lot of strong pop hooks. I remember thinking of this as a teenager and I didn't like, so they released a couple like self released, truly independent EPs. Uh-huh. They signed to a ska punk label that was like SoCal based called Asian Man Records. And they put out one album on that. Then they got signed to a major label when like people were buying up ska bands. It might have been Interscope. It doesn't matter. And they released an album called Heads Are Gonna Roll, which I owned and loved. And I loved it so much that I would always search for their early album, but I could never really get my hands on it. I would be able to piece it. This is like the early Napster days, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then it was rumored they were making this third album, and I was so excited for it. And then, like, you just didn't hear anything about it and just went away, and they broke up. And, like, years later, they released the album, like, Trickled Out. And it was completely different. It wasn't a ska album at all. It was, like, a synth pop album. And I was like, this is so weird. And then years later, completely forgot about everything about this band except for like nostalgia. I was listening to say it was Haim or Vampire Weekend, and I heard this guy's name just being talked about in music,
yeah.
And I was like, that guy looks familiar, and that name is familiar.
That's so funny.
And I like Googled it, and I was like, I was a fan of his the ska band he was in.
That's like, so funny.
And it's really like, I don't know, musically validating,
yeah,
to
sure,
like follow someone his whole career. Another one similarly, I think I was a pretty early adopter of Haim,
yeah,
because I was into their EPs like before the first proper album. They like released a few singles and then put out like a 5-song EP, most of which ended up on their first album. And so I was like highly anticipating their first album. Like I feel like with bands, SNL is still a bit of a tastemaker, and if you're a fan of them before they're on SNL, you're like you probably
did.
An early adopter.
Yeah,
like I didn't get into Vampire Weekend until I saw them on SNL.
Interesting,
because they had only released A Punk, and I was like, eh, whatever. But then they played M79 on SNL, and I was like, holy shit, this song's amazing.
I remember when I saw Alabama Shakes on.
That's
SNL,
another big one.
And I was like, Jesus,
yeah,
this band rules.
Because I liked like a single of theirs, but I didn't actually know that their singer was a female singer.
Yeah,
and then this like big brassy female singer just starts like exploding on stage,
she
and I was like, this is the coolest
rules.
Thing in the world.
Yeah,
I think Ariel is probably my most
That's
interesting
really
one. It's
funny.
A really weird thing where sometimes you just like follow somebody their whole career and
yeah.
you don't even know it.
I was trying to think of actors that I felt that way about, and I don't really, the only, I remember liking Michael Fassbender before anyone knew who that was, but
yeah.
that was mostly because of Film Spotting, which I don't think really counts
yeah.
as much.
I feel like we like in some sense of the word, we did it a little bit with the director Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah.
Because I saw Prisoners and we saw Sicario and we both really liked it.
Right.
And then we were like, who is this guy? And then he made Arrival, which we both really liked.
Yeah.
And now he's making Blade Runner. I feel like a slight early adopter
yeah.
in a American pop sense.
Sure.
I
think we stay ahead of the curve on a lot of like directory stuff like that.
Yeah. They're, man,
anytime someone makes like a second good movie.
There, yeah, there's somebody else I can't put my finger on it though.
I thought of that. I mean, I knew, I was aware of like Human Giant and all those guys have gone on to have like big careers, and that was their first project.
Yeah. I think like Gourmet Burgers. I think that's...
Get them while they're hot.
Yeah, get them while they're hot.
Eric.
That was like a Mongolian inward breathing technique.
I thought it was Aaron Neville.
It's a little Aaron Neville.
Eric, what's the inside scoop?
The inside scoop this week is a television. is a television recommendation. The series Preacher, the AMC series. After we finish recording this, I think I'm going to go watch the third season finale.
Right. I asked you last night if we could not watch it, and then I probably fell asleep during what we put on instead. Yeah.
But I'm a late adopter to Preacher.
Oh.
It's based on...
Got It While It's Cold.
Got It While It's Cold. It's based on a comic book series, but the first season came out on AMC, and I watched it because I thought the premise was like ridiculous and interesting, because it's about a ex-criminal who's reformed himself as a preacher, but not really. His assassin girlfriend and an Irish vampire trying to track down and essentially beat the crap out of God. That's kind of the premise of the show. I could get more granular, but there's no point. But it's just really kind of a like ridiculous show, and it's purposeful, and like it kind of gets to do what it wants, and like it can always kind of like wink at the camera, or like kind of in some cases flip off the camera, essentially say like fuck you. But I just think the show is so fun. I watched the first season, and I went and read all the comics because I thought
I forgot that you've read them all.
Yeah, because I thought
I actually forgot that
it was interesting, and I just kind of liked it because it was
so, you know where the show is going.
Essentially, yeah. And it's got like a little, it's supposed to be funny in like really grotesque and silly ways.
Sure.
And it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's just really fun and light and pulpy. And I really have enjoyed what they've done with the third season, because they took like my favorite part of all the books that I read and like remixed it in this fun way, and like things happen differently, and I just like all the choices they made.
Preacher chopped and screwed.
Say that again.
Preacher chopped and screwed.
Preacher chopped and screwed?
Yeah, that's what they, it's a term for a certain type of remix. Go on.
I delayed watching the third season because we had some stuff going on and I wasn't into watching TV for a bit. We were busy with a lot of other stuff.
We
got married. We moved. We were flying all over.
You
the
said
country.
That like it was really dark. But
yeah,
it wasn't.
I think I did.
That's
I did.
That's why I wanted to clarify.
We just constantly had to.
We had some stuff going on, and I wasn't in the mood to watch TV.
We had to.
That's literally basically what you said.
We had to
and
get
out
on
of context. It's like Jesus Christ.
We were busy attending weddings and doing fun life events, all the things that are great.
Right.
And a darkness had clouded me. But I delayed watching it, and I has picked it back up, and I just was like, oh, I love this show. It's just so fun, and it's not for everyone. It's they definitely don't shy away from like grotesqueness or like hot buttony type stuff. If you're really religious, it may not be the thing.
Yeah,
for you
especially
want
because
you, want
you probably don't want to watch All American Rejects Jesus.
Right, and he plays give you a background on the character that the former lead singer of All American Rejects plays on this show would be offensive to some people.
Yeah, so if you're easily offended by religious type themes, just move along.
Move along
like I know you do.
And take a swing at some other series.
Oh, I thought mine was good, and then he just like, and I didn't have. I wish I'd had a third one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of mad you didn't pick up on Swing, Swing, Sing first, but I'm gonna leave it alone and not give you hell. It's another All American Rejects song.
You didn't have to. I could give you hell for thinking I wouldn't know. Give you hell.
I was just trying to fit it in.
And I did pick up on Swing Swing. That's why I laughed so hard.
I meant before you went for Move Along. Even though Move Along is probably the bigger song.
Yeah, I think we should take a page out of their book. And
yeah, the accuracy of my Gives Them Hell joke. that wasn't the point. But I'm glad we've now sussed that out.
Yeah. Well, we see what my brain deems as more important. Brightness over comedy. It's a disease.
Well, I think every American would reject that notion. And hopefully we'll see you again at the old hot dogs, Dan.
I'll see you when I give you hell. I was going to say see you in hell, and then it was give you.